Now we're in 2 Timothy. If you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 real fast, I'll show you where we are, but then we're going to be doing something else this morning. A lot of this will be completely rudimentary to maybe even most of you. A lot of old faces here, lots of new faces, and so I know folks come to our church usually for a reason, not just because they've walked off the street. But to make plain some things that are very important, I thought it would be worthwhile as we've run on this passage of Scripture. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're working verse by verse through 2 Timothy, but we start reading in verse 16. Let's pray before we get started in Sunday school. Father, ask you to honor and bless the Word of God this morning, and we're going to explore a little bit, Father, this morning, just what the words of God do not sound like. And we pray that you might enlighten the eyes of Christians here. Father, some of this is going to be a review entirely for some. For others, it might be eye-opening, and I pray that you might just please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now notice verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's important because Scripture is important because it equips the man of God to be perfect. Now, I didn't say sinless, right? But perfect. And it says all Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, everybody talks about inspired Scripture. And we talked some last week about it, and we'll talk more about it. But I decided with the crowd that we have, and again with the number of new people that we have that comes, if you've never actually sat New Versions and the King James Bible side by side, most people don't. Some people say they do, but they don't. And what you should do sometime is just sit down, say in Proverbs or somewhere, and just read side by side for just a little while. I promise you, you will be convinced. This is High Points here. And again, most of you know some of these verses. I've got new Bibles scattered throughout the congregation here. Brother David has one, and Ian has one, and Jeff has one, and who else has one? I forgot. Oh, Aaron, that's right. Now, Aaron's got the Good News for Modern Man, the Bible my mother gave me when I was 13. Even has my name on it, just so you know, whatever. David has, I forgot what you got, the New Century Version, okay? Brother Jeff has the NIV, and Ian has the New American Standard. Now, there's a lot of them, plainly, and there's some other new ones. I mean, it's what's very popular today is the English Standard Version, also the International Standard Version. I have those on my computer because they follow with the ones, the changes that you'll see in these other versions. I didn't bother to print all that stuff out. But let me have you turn with me. These guys are going to turn in new versions. You're going to turn with me. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Now, we're going to go quickly through here. And whether or not we can get through with all I've got written down today or not, I really don't know. But Matthew chapter 1. And one of the common things that's said on a really regular basis is that the new versions really don't change anything in Scripture. That is a stinking lie. And so if you've been too lazy to ever sit down with them side by side and you're just believing what guys say, you're probably doing wrong. And every Christian needs to explore a few things, right, all by themselves, and this is a good thing to do it on. But Matthew chapter 1, so fellas, if y'all turn with me there, and then verse 25 reads, and knew her not, this is plainly Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus Christ, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. All right, Brother Jeff, you can go ahead and start.
But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Okay, what's missing? No firstborn. Nah. Now, Catholics teach that Mary was a perpetual virgin and that she had no children after Christ, which is a lie from a number of places, Matthew 13, as well as Mark chapter 4, because plainly he had brothers and sisters. So they would contest firstborn. Brother Ian. No firstborn. So Christ is not a firstborn son, because firstborn implies others to follow, right? Brother David?
He did not have relations with her until she gave birth to the son.
Okay, just a son. Aaron?
But he had no sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son.
Just a son. Okay, y'all can probably just read me the part of the scripture that's kind of apropos, because we're going to run fast here this morning. Look in chapter 5, Matthew, verse 22. Now, if you set versions down side by side, you're going to find a lot more between the high points I'm hitting. I'm hitting points that are either ridiculous or, you know, kind of bash some major doctrine. There's lots of stuff that's changed that doesn't really smash anything bad. It's just, it doesn't read the same. It doesn't say the same thing. So I've kind of avoided some of those. And literally I have, 50 or so here on the paper. Folks, there are thousands in the New Testament alone. So we're not talking about simple changes from thee to a or something like that. We're talking about major, major things. Matthew 5:22, let me read it. It says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Okay, so just the kind of apropos part there, Brother Jeff.
But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment.
Angry, period. Ever been angry at your brother? Oh boy, you're in trouble. Right? Was Jesus ever angry? Well, boy, is he in trouble. He's going to face the judgment one day. Angry without a cause, people, right? See, words matter. Brother Ian.
But I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before.
Brother David.
If you are angry with a brother or sister.
Brother Aaron.
But now I tell you, whosoever is angry with his brother will be
brought to trial. Now, doesn't it say be angry and sin not? I mean, there's a place for righteous anger, and sometimes it does point at a brother. The issue is not being angry. The issue is being angry without a cause. That makes Jesus Christ a sinner, because Christ was angry. Right? Look in chapter 18, verse 11. Chapter 18, verse 11. Okay, verse 11, you'd consider this a pretty important verse, I'd think. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Right? Pretty important verse. Everybody agree? Brother Jeff.
Not here.
Brother Ian.
It's here with the brackets.
The brackets in the New American Standard indicate that the translators of that version don't believe it belongs there. Brother David.
Gone.
Brother Aaron, I don't know why I can't. It's not there? Okay. Now, most of you have seen this, I think. There may be some. I'm not going to embarrass you if you haven't. But you just have a verse taken out of the Bible about the reason Jesus Christ came to this world. How's that make you feel? Weren't you lost? Didn't he come to save you? Well, what do you think about the devil pulling a verse out like that important? How about chapter 12, verse 6. 12:6. Okay, Christ speaking, he says, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Brother Jeff. Okay, so that agrees. Okay, Brother Ian.
But I say to you that something greater than the temple.
Something greater than the temple is here. Not one. Something? Christ is a something? Brother David?
There is something here.
Something? Not someone? Brother Aaron. Something. What do you think about that? Isn't that weird? 25:13. Matthew 25. Those of you who just came in, we're showing you why we're King James Bible believers the simple way. There's a lot more. I have probably 5 to 7 feet of bookshelf in my study that is devoted only to King James and other new version related material. So there's a ton. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of pages to read. I don't even have all the books. But the simple way to know that you have the Bible is to sit down and compare what the Bible say. And I tell you, folks, it's without fail. You'll have to do it to trust me. If you read a King James beside a New American Standard or an NIV or an International Standard or an ESV, and I'm not even rolling those past you because, again, I didn't cut and paste all that stuff together. But without fail, they basically remove the same stuff. And without fail, they always detract. They always make sin softer. They always make transgression softer. They always mess with salvation. They always pull the deity of Christ away. The Lord Jesus Christ is either just Jesus or Christ or the Lord instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're always detracting. Okay? So, did I hit all you guys? Yeah, I did. Okay. Mark chapter 1. Okay, now the new versions are supposed to be so much more accurate than the King James Bible. I mean, how many times have you heard it if you've been in the battle at all? They're just so much more accurate. We'll see. Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Now, importantly, it says, it's written in the prophets, so he's going to quote you prophets. That first quote is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And then in verse 3, it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." That's Isaiah 40, verse 3. So it's important that the Bible says it is written in the prophets, verse 2. Brother Jeff. But what happened to Malachi? Brother Ian.
Isaiah the prophet.
Just Isaiah the prophet, just one prophet. What happened to Malachi? He quoted Malachi as well. Brother David.
As the prophet Isaiah wrote.
Just a prophet, just Isaiah. Aaron.
As the prophet Isaiah.
It's not more accurate. They missed a prophet. I mean, they made something a singular that's a plural and then missed the fact that they're not even quoting Malachi. So I just wanted you to see that. They're not more accurate. Chapter 9, verse 24. Who's enjoying this? Who's not enjoying it? I got no hands whatsoever. All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Now, again, I'm skipping all kinds of stuff, and we could sit down and read side by side all these, and we would never get through a single chapter without these guys interrupting me and telling me all these things that have been changed. So 9:24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Lord, I believe.
"Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief."
No, Lord. Just I believe. Didn't say Lord. Brother Ian?
"Began saying, I do believe."
No, Lord. David?
No, Lord.
No, Lord. Aaron?
No, Lord.
No, Lord. I told you. They pull stuff out. Now, who would pull out Lord? Who would be interested in pulling out Lord? Yea, hath God said. Right? Know what I'm saying? Chapter 10, verse 24. How many of you here this morning are saved? Now, I know there are hard things to swallow, probably you wrestled with, But tell me the truth. Was it hard to get saved? I mean, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? All right, chapter 10, verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? The reason it's hard is because they're trusting riches. They need to trust Christ. So the hardness is in trusting riches. Brother Jeff?
It says, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God.
Oh, baby. It's hard to get in, is it? All you have to do is believe, and it's hard to get in. Dork. Ian? The new versions say it's hard to get in. It's not hard to get in. Brother David? It's very, very hard. Oh, it's very hard. Aaron?
Hard.
It's hard, man. It's not hard. 15:28. Mark 15:28. All right. Christ on the cross, and verse 28, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. It's not there. Brother Ian?
Gone.
Gone? Not even brackets?
No brackets. No.
Just gone. Okay. David?
Gone.
Gone.
Footnote.
Footnote. Okay. They don't like it. Why wouldn't you like that? Wasn't he numbered for your transgressions? So what's the problem? Who would be upset? Who would be interested in messing that up? Don't you have an adversary? Don't you have somebody seeking your soul if they could get it? His name's the devil. All right, Luke chapter 2. Now, folks, in the New Testament alone, there are thousands of these. Some of great, great consequence. Others don't seem too consequential, probably. But again, if we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then every word matters. And the brutal fact of the matter is, when you start removing words and changing words, the Bible quits saying what it used to say. The meaning is changed. Luke 2 and verse 33. All right, now this is the center of all you learn of Christ's childhood, basically, in this passage. It says in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother, so Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That acknowledges that Joseph was not his father. That's the Holy Spirit acknowledging that it's Joseph and his mother. His mother was truly his mother. Mary bore Jesus, but Joseph was not his father. God was his father. He was his stepfather here on earth. Brother Jeff.
The child's father and mother marveled.
Whoa, baby. The child's father and mother. Do you know how many apostates love the idea that Joseph was Jesus' father? Because if Joseph was Jesus' father, then Jesus was just a human. And so when he shed his blood for your sins and mine, it was just man's blood that he shed. Brother Ian. Brother David? Brother Aaron? See, now, tell me this. Why do all the new versions agree? Because everything that I've... all the new versions agree with it, basically. And the reason why is because they come from corrupt manuscripts. Some very intelligent dorks way back in the bad old days, right after Jesus Christ died for our sins, returned to heaven, started messing with the Bible because they didn't like the Bible. And a couple of those guys managed to get these changes into the stream of Bibles, and the New Version translators have taken that stream of Bibles instead of the right stream of Bibles from which the King James Bible comes. It's a matter of Greek texts and stuff in part. Now, part of it is just translation, but the reason that the new versions basically reflect these same changes kind of throughout. In the main, you'll find an exception here and there, is because they've all taken a different string of texts, a different a manuscript stream, and so that their Bibles are all corrupt. Let me take you to Brother, let's see, who has the... Brother Ian, why don't you just be the one? Well, maybe. We'll see. Luke chapter 24, real quick. Luke 24 and verse 51. Luke 24, 51. There's a handful of these that were egregious enough that some of these new versions from, say, 20 or 5 years ago, they've changed back to what's right because the changes were so egregious. Here's one. And it came to pass, verse 51, while he blessed them, Christ, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Okay, Brother Jeff.
While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven.
Okay, the NIV used to not have it in it. Now it has it in it. Brother Ian.
He was blessing them, he parted from them.
And where did he go? Nobody knows. He just walked right on down the street. Brother David.
Carried into heaven.
It's in that one. Okay, Brother Aaron.
Taken up into heaven.
Okay, handful of them have taken up into heaven. What about the one that doesn't? Right? Let's look in John chapter 1. John 1. Okay, I'm going to read a couple of verses here, guys. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. Now look down, if you will, in while you have your finger there in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. The rest of us have been begotten spiritually, but God begat Christ, not just spiritually, but He was literally His Son. Brother Jeff, both verse 16 and 18, that important part.
In both places it says, the glory of the one and only, for God the one and only.
But no begotten. Okay, so one of the arguments through the years with heretics was whether God truly begat Christ. And so Christ wasn't really here God's only begotten Son. He was just here in some other, you know, metaphorical, esoteric fashion. Brother Ian.
14 says only begotten from the Father. 18
says only begotten God. So it does use begotten. Okay. David?
The only Son.
No begotten. Brother Aaron?
The only Son.
No begotten. Now, what do you feel? How do you feel about them removing begotten? Doesn't the Bible say God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16? Did you know that they all changed that verse too? And so it's no longer God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. It's just His only Son. Well, Jesus was not His only Son. I'm His Son because He's begotten me again spiritually, right? And you too, if you're saved, all you that raise your hands. Okay, look in chapter 4, John 4. Now, if you have a spiritual entity like the devil that's interested in messing things up and messing you up, he's going to mess with words. Now, watch John 4:24. God is a spirit. Capital S, spirit in the King James, but God is a spirit. Brother Jeff? Brother Ian?
God is spirit, small s, same thing. God is spirit.
Okay, a couple things there. First of all, the small s is one thing, but mainly, God is not spirit. God is a spirit. If you say God is spirit, then anything that's spirit is God. And that would justify somebody getting off into witchcraft and necromancy and channeling and whatever else, because they now have a Bible that says that God is spirit. So if I just reach out and contact the spirit world, I've contacted God. No, you haven't. God is a spirit, a specific spirit. You can't remove that article, right? Okay, now who would be interested in messing you up? Especially a lost guy, right? I mean, don't we have a lot of folks that have had lots of experiences spiritually? Haven't they contacted the spirit world spiritually? I mean, we have witches and all folks that have seen things and heard things and seen miracles and signs done and all that stuff. Who'd be interested in messing somebody up? You better make sure you get hold of the right spirit. God is a spirit. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 13, just back one chapter, guys. 3:13. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now that is acknowledging that Christ is part of the Godhead, and that while in one way that he was here during his 34 years of life, he also was still seated with the Father. Now, if that sounds impossible to you, the fact is, if you're saved, where are you this morning?
Here.
Only you're not just here. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Okay, so it says in verse 13 that even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Brother Jeff?
This is the Son of Man.
So the Son of Man is not in heaven. Brother Ian?
Same thing.
David?
Who came down from heaven?
But he's not in heaven now. Okay? Who'd be interested in messing with that? Why do they keep messing with this stuff? Because they're trying to confuse you. They would let you believe in a Jesus that was not God, that was not the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, you know, is just kind of a guy. You know, he sinned like us because he got angry. And, you know, he was born like us because he had an earthly father just like us. And so he's just another guy. No, he's not. All right. Let me see where we are here. Chapter 9, verse 35. John 9. I'm deluging you with this to convince you that by sheer numbers and what it's saying, that there's a major problem. And if you wanted to see it in fuller, you would set your King James Bible down beside any new version and compare at length, if you weren't a lazy bum, verse by verse, to see just exactly what's changed. It's not all egregious stuff, but it does all change what's said. Okay? 9:35, I think I said, did I not? 9:35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Brother Jeff?
Pretty much the same. It says, Do you believe in the Son of Man?
Son of Man, not the Son of God. Okay. Is there a difference? Son of God, right? He's God's only begotten Son. Brother Ian?
Son of Man.
Son of Man.
Son of Man.
Aaron? Son of Man. It's all Son of Man. Not the Son of God. Isn't it important that you know he's the Son of God? Right? I mean, if you need a Savior, you don't just want a Son of Man. You need the Son of God. Brother?
Is all the Son of Man lowercase or are they capital? Mine's a capital M.
Capital M? Okay. Okay. All right. All right, let's look at this. Acts chapter 1, we're rolling through. Can do this with every book, Brother Stevens? Might. Just might. Acts chapter 1. All right, verse 3. Now, Luke here is writing his introduction, and he says about the apostles whom Christ had chosen, to whom, those apostles, also he, Christ, showed himself alive after his passion, that is, his suffering, after he rose from the dead, by many infallible proofs. Boy, you have infallible proofs, apparently. Brother Jeff? Unless you have an NIV and then they're merely convincing. I kind of like infallible better than just convincing. How about you, Brother Ian? How about you, Brother David? Oh, proved, but not infallible, not even convincing. How about you, Aaron? Oh, beyond doubt. Okay, that's kind of not bad, but it still changed. Look in chapter 4 of Acts, chapter 4, verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child, the reference is towards God, talking about Christ, God's holy child. Now, just let me read verse 30 for you as well. At the end of the verse, it says, that wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So, verse 27 and 30, guys. Holy servant, but not holy child. Doesn't holy child suggest that Christ was born in a way that most of us weren't? I mean, that he was born the Son of God through the Virgin Mary, and that he was God manifest in the flesh, would support that. But when you remove and say just a holy servant, well, technically speaking, we're all supposed to be holy servants. Brother Ian? Now, who would be interested in removing the idea of the child being holy, holy child, as though he had a different birth than me and you? Who would be interested in doing that? Look in chapter 9. Now, the important thing about this is what usually happens is, especially around somebody getting saved, you find a lot of changes. And so here you have Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. He's not the apostle yet. He's just getting saved. And so this reads, you're going to need to cover a couple verses here, guys, in general. But verse 5, let me read verse 4. So Paul falls to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, this is Jesus speaking. Now, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Let's just have you guys read verse 5 for now.
Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.
But no, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul had his conscience bothering him. Did your conscience bother you when you got saved? Isn't that why in part you got saved? All right, so what's wrong with Paul's conscience in the new versions? How about you, Brother Ian?
And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.
But no pricks of conscience. Brother David?
No pricks of conscience.
And Brother Aaron, no pricks of conscience. Okay, well, I'd hate to try to get saved without a conscience. That's all I got to say. Look in verse 6 real fast. There's a couple of other things. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. Okay, Brother Jeff.
Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
Oh, but Paul didn't ask what he should do? And so he didn't say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Don't you think that's a good idea to ask the Lord that when you get saved? Brother Ian. Okay, so Paul didn't even ask anything there. I mean, shouldn't you at least ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? David? Not there. Not there. Aren't you missing some stuff now in your Bible? Do all the Bibles say the same thing? No, they really don't, do they? Chapter 8, Acts 8. Roll back one chapter here. Okay, this is the Ethiopian eunuch getting saved, correct? And he is a Ethiopian. He's one of the first guys in the Bible to clearly, plainly get saved and baptized just like we do, right? So down in verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And what he's asking is, what hinders me to be baptized? He's wanting to get baptized. He said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You have to believe first with all your heart before baptism, before you're baptized, right? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All of verse 37 is pretty important, I'd say, right? Brother Jeff?
37 is in a footnote.
Oh, they don't like that one. Brother Ian? Oh, they don't like that one. Brother David? It's not even there in David's Bible. David must not be as good a Christian, huh? David might be a confused Christian if that's his book, right? Brother Aaron? Oh, yeah, footnote, okay? But plainly, for the translators, that doesn't belong there. Now, don't you think it should belong there? Do you believe it belonged there? Have you been baptized? Did you believe first with all your heart? Look in Acts chapter 10. No, let's just go on to chapter 16, verse 31. 16:31. Okay, here's another guy getting saved. The Philippian jailer, one of the famous guys that got saved. The jail rattles, and he thinks everybody's left and gone because of the earthquake, and it turns out that's not true. So in verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Right question for a sinner to ask, right? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." That's all there is to it. Verse 31, guys. Okay. Ian?
Christ is removed.
Okay. David?
Believe in the Lord Jesus.
Okay. Ian? Or Aaron? Yeah. All right. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But then they took Christ out. All the new versions take Christ out. Say, is that important? Well, isn't it? I mean, shouldn't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ instead of just familiarizing it and start taking out names at your whim? Look in chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." The Athenian philosophers, the educators, were very superstitious. Brother Jeff?
This one says, "I see that in every way you are very religious."
Oh, that's kind of different. How about you, Ian?
Very religious.
David?
Very religious.
Okay. Superstitious versus religious? That's not the same. Okay. How about this, Romans chapter 1. Let's say you're seeking to get saved. Romans chapter 1. You're reading your Bible and looking for a way to get saved. Verse 16. 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Verse 16, Brother Jeff.
It says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel."
Wouldn't you want the gospel of Christ if you were looking for a way to get saved? How about the gospel of socialism or Marxism or Roman Catholicism? How about you, Brother Ian?
Ashamed of the gospel.
No gospel of Christ, just the gospel. How about you, David? How about you, Aaron?
I have complete confidence in the gospel.
Okay, the gospel, but not the gospel of Christ. What do you keep removing his name for? Who would be interested in removing Christ's name? Who would be interested in messing that up? I wonder. Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Now, it doesn't just deal with salvation. Like I said, it always softens sin. And boy, when you start going through lists of, well, any list, even animals, with a King James versus a new version, you get some really strange changes. But just verse 29 here, this is a long list of stuff. "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." Go ahead and read it, Jeff. But
"They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips."
Okay, so there's lots in there that's kind of the same, but did you notice there's no fornication? You know what's uniformly removed from the new versions almost all the time? Fornication. You say, why? I don't know. I wonder why. I just thought you should know that. Ian, how about you? About the same thing? And David? And Aaron? Well, there are four witnesses right there that left fornication out. And isn't fornication almost esteemed normal today? I wonder what happened to a country that used to have a King James Bible and now has new versions. Don't tell me it doesn't change things. All right, look in... I'm not going to do that one. Look in Romans 16. There's other stuff we could see, but Romans 16. All right. Paul's closing a letter, and he said a lot to the Romans, and so he closes in part with verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Oh, it's not there.
It's not there. Nice. Footnote. Gone. Removed. I don't know. That'd be a nice close to a letter, don't you think? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. If I was a Christian and going through some stuff in Roman times with the government pounding on my head and ready to kill me if they catch me with my Bible, I mean, I'm ready for somebody to give me a little encouragement and say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. But none of the New Version people get that. How about that? All right, chapter 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, folks, there are thousands of these in the New Testament alone, and believe me, there are thousands and thousands in the Old Testament. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish a foolishness. Let me just catch myself here. But unto us that are saved... which are saved, it is the power of God. Brother Jeff?
Change here, it says they are saved.
Okay. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Are you saved? Or are you being saved? Now, is it a process? I mean, it's a process. Is the salvation a process, or are you saved? In the new versions, it's a process. 118, Brother Ian. Being saved, okay? Brother David?
Teaching about the cross.
Being saved. Brother Aaron?
Being saved.
You're not saved, you're being saved. Now that'll confuse some folks, don't you think? Chapter 2, verse 13. 2:13. Now, let me tell you about this for just a second. Notice verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You agree with that? If you are saved, you have the spirit which is of God, right? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I mean, what you need is the spirit inside you now to give you understanding in the Bible. Now watch. Which things, the things which are freely given to us of God, also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Okay, with what words does the Holy Ghost teach? The words of this book. These are the only words that you have that the Holy Ghost said, right? So he's saying that one thing that the Spirit did for you, God did for you, is to have the Spirit write a book, and as you're going through the book and going through preaching and teaching, you're being taught the words that the Holy Ghost teaches and uses. And notice the last phrase. The way we learn is by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it's talking there about the words of God. You compare what the Bible says in this place to what the Bible says in this place, and you get an idea about what the Bible says. Right? Okay, so that's an entirely rudimentary, elementary, basic process that everybody here needs to get a handle on. Because you learn God's ways by comparing spiritual things, the Word of God, with other spiritual things in the Word of God, words with words, ideas with ideas, precepts with precepts, right? So when those words are changed, you have a problem, right? Okay, Brother Jeff.
This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words.
expressing spiritual truth and spiritual words. Okay. Brother Ian.
Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words.
Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Okay. Look, the Bible is saying that the words are the spiritual things that you compare. You compare words with words in the Bible. That's what we do all the time, right? That's why you know Bible. Those of you that have been here on a regular basis. David, how's it go with you?
So we explain spiritual truths to spiritual people.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm spiritual because I got that. Of course, you didn't because you're not spiritual. See that? Brother Aaron. Oh, not quite the same, right? It's going to mess up your Bible study, correct? All right, chapter 4, verse 16. Now here's Paul, and he's giving you advice, and it's advice that almost in every case the new mainline Christians don't follow because they don't believe in following a man. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Paul saying, you Corinthians, be followers of me. Brother Jeff.
Therefore, I urge you to imitate me.
Just pretend. Imitate him. That's what an imitation is, right? It's somebody pretending to be something they're not, right? That's what an actor does. He pretends to be Robert E. Lee or George Washington or something, and he's not. How about you, Ian?
Be imitators.
Imitators. What a high calling to be an imitator of Paul. How about you, David?
Follow my example.
Oh, okay.
I beg you then, follow my example.
Follow example, okay, but a lot of them have imitator. Imitate. Okay. How about chapter 6, verse 20? That's urging you to live right and to treat your body as the temple of the Holy Ghost in verse 19. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify, verse 20, God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So verse 20, guys.
You were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your body.
But not your spirit. That one doesn't matter. Don't worry about the spirit. Just honor God with your body. You could be a bodybuilder. I mean, you could dance for Jesus. Right? How about you, Ian?
Therefore glorify God in your body, period.
But not your spirit. And David?
Honor God
with your body. And
Aaron? Use your body.
Okay, now you're really weird. But it's not the same. What happened to the spirit? How about chapter 15, and again, we're skipping so much. It's chapter 15, verse 47. Now, this is the rapture passage. It's talking about Adam being the first Adam and Christ being the second Adam. And among other things, it says in verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Brother Jeff?
The first man was of the dust of the earth, and the second man from heaven.
No, but no Lord. Okay, Brother Ian?
The second man is from heaven.
But no Lord. See, it says, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, wouldn't you want to make sure you identify who you're talking about? How about you, David?
No Lord.
No Lord. And Aaron?
No Lord.
No Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay. Look in chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 2. I'm probably not going to get all the way through here, so. 2:17. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. That would be an important thing to say, don't you think? If you're an apostle and you got a bunch of corruptors running around changing the Word of God like we have here, right? Like, wouldn't it be important for you to say, we are not, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God? How about you, Brother Jeff?
We do not peddle the Word of God.
Peddle. Brother Ian?
Peddle.
That's not the same idea. Brother David?
Do not sell the Word of God.
Oh. Okay. Aaron?
We handle God's message as if it were cheap merchandise.
As if it were what?
Cheap merchandise.
He does? Okay. So my question is there a difference between Bibles? And isn't it kind of interesting that the new ones more or less flow along the same paths and flow and change basically the same things? Isn't that interesting? Let me just take you to one more here, then we got to close. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So just go ahead and read that whole thing through slowly there, Brother Jeff. Okay, a lot of changes, but notice he doesn't say simplicity that's in Christ. Don't you think it's important to understand that, you know, it's like getting saved. It's really simple, the simplicity that's in Christ. There's hard things in the Bible, but, I mean, being in Christ is simple. But, and so don't be corrupted away from simplicity. But he doesn't say simple, right? Brother Ian. Okay, so he does use simplicity. Brother David?
But I am afraid that your minds will be led away from your true and pure following of Christ, just as Eve was tricked by the snake with his evil ways.
Okay, but no simplicity. So you're not being told that the way you're corrupted is to be moved from something simple into making it complicated. What the devil does is complicate things. Roughly, the new versions are taking that out, so that's not what you're looking for. One more, Brother Aaron.
I am afraid that your mind will be corrupted and that you will abandon your full and pure devotion to Christ, in the same way that Eve was deceived by the snake
from the lion. But no simplicity. Okay. So we have to close now, and y'all want more next week? Yes? Okay. Because there's lots more, and we haven't even got to the Old Testament yet. There's some doozies in the Old Testament. But, you know, we haven't seen, there's some things you will see you haven't even seen yet. But, folks, I mean, the first step in deciding which Bible to use is not starting with the 7-foot shelf of manuscripts and all that stuff. It's starting with two Bibles side by side, and you compare them. And you see which one of the Lord is showing you is the one that glorifies God, simplifies salvation, elevates Jesus Christ, and doesn't remove the blood, which you haven't seen yet. But, you know, Christianity is not hard. But they try to make it hard. They try to make it obscure. And it's a terrible thing. And so you wonder why, quote unquote, Christianity in the main is in the shape it's in. And the reason why is because they no longer have the Word of God. They have words. Some of them are kind of right, and maybe it leads to a general truth. But as far as specific things, I mean, look, you are not going to walk into a lawyer's office and convince him that you should be able to go into his files of his cases and just kind of routinely change language to simplify it. Because that's legal language. And when you start fiddling around with legal language, then you're changing things legally. How about a doc letting you in his files? And so you're going to go through and when it comes to his patients and stuff, you're going to go in his files and change some wording so that it's easier to understand the problems that his patients have. So you're going to take some of those really complicated words and make them simpler to understand. Is the doc going to go for that? First of all, no, that's against the law. But he's changing, he would be allowing you to change legal language in the case of a lawyer and very specific medical language in the case of a doctor. And I'm telling you, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is what? The Word of God. And he's not going to let you change the Bible at your whim just because you don't like the these and those. Well, I just think, shut up. It's not your book. Nobody gave you the right to change it. Nobody gave these guys the right to change it. So you need to shut up and just learn. All right, we need to take a break here. Let's pray. Father, we ask.